Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Good evening. So good to be with you all. If even Pastor Paul as an American have problems to pronounce some American words sometimes, then I have hope tonight. Even if my Balkanic accent is maybe hard to follow or it's strange, I can assure you from the beginning that we have the same Father. We do have the same Father. His name is God. And he took us through the faith in Jesus Christ and his family. He adopted us after he forgave all our sins. And it was so nice to sing together tonight. It's just a small image of what it will be next in heaven when we're languages from all of the tribes from this world, from all of these nations, will sing together. We anticipate that day, and we started to celebrate since here, right? We started to celebrate it. So we are full of joy, and it was nice to be full of joy together. But sometimes, even if we know that God loves us and he is for us, right? He is our Father. He is our King. We have a kingdom. We are princes and princesses, right? We are. But so many times, even if we have all of this in our minds, in our emotional part, in our feelings, so many times we feel so downcast, right? Sometimes we feel forgotten. Even by our Father. Like, he's so distant when we call out his name. Sometimes we fight depression. No, those moments when, if you are a parent, you should look to your kids, and when you look at them, you should be full of joy. But you know that, you look at them, but you feel cold like a stone. You feel like you don't find power anymore to love them as they should be loved. Sometimes we deal with panic attacks. And for those who are not familiar with what a panic attack means, sometimes people come to confess, hey, I fight with these fears deep inside me. And a man could come to say, hey, man, be brave. Just laugh a little bit. It will pass. But he cannot grasp that you feel inside of you like you are dying right now and you are afraid of dying right now. And maybe you are in a meeting in a room with brothers and sisters, and you should sing, but you are so afraid that you want to hold someone because you want to scream of being too afraid, and you do not want to die alone. Imagine like you are in a deep ocean with big waves, and your boat will sink, and you just gave a call to this boat to come to save you, but they don't come anymore, and the waves are bigger and bigger, and you scream, and nobody hears you. And you are more and more sure of the fact that you'll die alone and forgotten, abandoned. Is it not the same that in our Christian walk sometimes we feel the same in our daily walk with our God. Sometimes in times of faithfulness, when we love Him, we serve Him, we are faithful with our money, with our time, with everything, and we still feel like He abandoned us and He doesn't care for us. Or sometimes in times of failure, and those are the worst time because all the emotions and all your thoughts inside you condemn you, and it's saying to you like, hey, yeah, you deserve this. You deserve to be abandoned. Yeah, because you are a failure. Well, brothers and sisters, there is hope in times of despair. In those times when your life is looking like a song in the background that is going on repeat, like a desperation song, again and again and again and again, in those moments, there is hope. And I do not wish for me to tell you this, but I would like to invite you to go to the Word of God that it was just read in front of us. To see a day from the man that the Bible describes as being a man after God's heart. To watch a season of his life where he's singing and crying like this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long? But in the same time, if you look at the end of the psalm, he's ending with singing. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Interesting, right? The psalm is starting with a cry of desperation, but ends with a sing of worship. So the question is, how did he do that? How did he do that? So many riches in this psalm, but tonight I'd like to walk with you through three simple principles. So what should be the first thing we should do when we feel like we are drowning in the ocean called despair? So first thing, it seems so childish, but first thing, give a voice to your cry and to your emotions. Give them a voice. Give them a voice. I'm not talking about therapeutical advices here, but I'm talking about the reality of life that all of us, even the saints of God, are experiencing it on this world because we still live in a world of darkness and pain and sin and failure. I had the opportunity to discuss with so many Christians who are authentic Christians, who reached to a point in their Christian walk where they had so much pain and despair in their hearts, but they felt forced to wear a mask, to not express those emotions, to not be honest about what they feel deep inside them. Why? Because I'm not sure in the international context, but at least in our context, in this part of the world, among Christians, there is this myth, in my opinion, that if you are a Christian, you should never feel sadness. You should never fight with depression. That's not normal for Christian people. And that feeling gets even harder when you come to a church on Sunday and everybody is like smiling all the time and singing all the time. And you don't feel inside of you to do those things. And the struggling saint who screams inside of him, he's forcing himself for a while to smile, but he doesn't feel like to smile. To sing, but in that morning or evening, he just wants to sit somewhere and cry. And that's all he could do. And when you wear a mask too long, you get to the point where you feel like you are the only one. And you start to feel like you are crazy or something. You start to not understand yourself anymore. But actually, brothers and sisters, you are not the only one. I don't know your life, right? As you don't know my life. But at least statistically speaking, I'm sure that even tonight we have saints, children of God, here tonight in this room who fight with deep pain inside of them, with despair inside of them, even if they love the Lord. So it's kind of funny in a way how sometimes we get to the point where we think like we live in different worlds, right? We think like, no, you live on another planet. I'm the only one who's fighting with this. No! We have the same battles, brothers and sisters. We fight with the same fears. Starting with pastors and elders. There are people, normal people, who are in the process of their sanctifications. They fight with fear of men. They fight with the desire to quit. They fight with crisis of identity. They fight with lots of things, like all of us. In the same world lived David, going through a very difficult season in his life. We do not know exactly in this psalm. In some psalms we know, but in this psalm, Psalm 13, we do not know exactly the circumstances from his life. But what we know for sure is that it was a painful season where the death seemed imminent. His enemy was ready to kill him. So, because the death was imminent, he started to question about the promise, question the promises of God. He knew that God promised him a kingdom. He knew that God promised him to be a great king. And right now, he's dealing with seasons when if he didn't want to be killed, he had to play like a crazy man in front of his enemies to save his life. Right? Or what kind of king am I? What kingdom is this, O God, where I have to hide every day and night in these caves so Saul's army will not kill me? Where are your promises? So now in Psalm 13, David gets to a point where he's like between two poles pushing him in two opposite directions. On one side, he's crying to his Lord, to his God, to his King, "Oh God, I need you, I need you." On the other side, there are his enemies being ready to kill him. But in the same time, he looks at his God and his cries to God seems like hits a nail. It's like his voice does not reach to God. So this is why he started to feel forsaken, not loved anymore. And there is no evidence that his despair comes from or because of some sin in his life. There are psalms where David says, "God, I deserve this. I committed sin. I deserve this. Please forgive me." It's not the case here. David did not commit any sin. But he still felt forgotten by God. So now he cries more like a child who is in despair because his father will not care about his pain. Where is the father's love? Look, how many times does David says how long? Right? Do you see the repetition? Which has an intent in this psalm. Four times. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Brothers and sisters, when winter comes, the night seems to be so long, right? When anxiety strikes, a normal day feels like a month. The repetition, how long, expresses a feeling of painful agony where you feel like you cannot handle it anymore. Imagine man being above maybe a big, deep valley, and he holds on a rope, and he knows that if he will let it go, he will die for sure, but the pain in his arms, in his muscles, in his fingers is so deep that he says, like, no, I'm dying, I cannot handle it anymore. That's what David is feeling here. But now something very interesting is happening. Do you see it? David is not afraid to express in his cry exactly what he's feeling. He's not afraid of giving a voice to his emotions. He feels forgotten by God, and he says, what? Lord, will you forget me forever? I mean, God, this is what I feel. So I want to share with you, like, I feel forgotten. He feels like God turns his back on him, and he confessed that loud and clear, why did you hide your face, God? Why? He's not afraid to ask those kind of questions. My dear brothers and sisters, when we fight with doubt, with depression, being downcast, there is no help wearing a mask. You know why this step is very important? Because if we do not share all of these things with one another, the desperation spiral will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And imagine a scenario. Imagine that someone would ask this question. Hey, should a Christian fear death? Theologically speaking, no. Right? Because we have assurance, we are sure about his sacrifice for us, we know we have a kingdom, so we should be like Paul. Oh, I would like to die today. So, but, and you know those thoughts, but many times you are so afraid of dying. And you start feel like you have a problem. And because you feel like you have a problem, and you feel like if you share those thoughts with others, they will maybe mock you or see you as an immature Christian, you start to hide that. And hiding that, the desperation will go bigger. So if you do not share it, so you could get help, after a while, you could start think of another thing. Maybe I'm not saved, right? Maybe I'm not his child, because if I would be his child, look, I would be like Paul. I would be like this pastor. I would be like this sister from the church, ready to die, but I'm not that. So maybe I'm not a Christian. And you start hide again that. And do you imagine how this spiral will go again and again, even to a place where you could push yourself to lose your faith? But look, David is not staying on this first step. He's going forward. So secondly, not only give voice to your emotions, but secondly, hold on to God with the anchor of persistent prayer. Hold on to God with the anchor of persistent prayer. Verse 3, verse 4, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. Look how David goes from crying to praying. Yes, it's necessary to let your tears come out, to express your pain, but we do not get stuck in that. We speak all of these things not because we want to do some, you know, therapeutical things to listen to each other like the world is, right? Hey, I need to feel a little bit better, so I need to talk with someone. It's not only that. We speak out loud all of these emotions So the helper, the God, the scriptures, the brothers, the sisters, the pastors, the friends we have, in the light of God's word, they could know what kind of medicine you need in those seasons of your life. Do you see how these things works in David's life? David says he feels forgotten, he feels abandoned. But what then, when he realizes what he feels, what then he asks from God? Do you see it? Oh Lord, I feel forgotten, so please consider me, oh Lord. Please answer me. Please look at me. It's like David knows that even if in his emotional side feels some things about God, he also knows that only God is also the fixer of those problems. And this is so powerful. David does not allow his emotions to remove him from God, but he brings his emotions closer to God in prayer, knowing that only God can fix him. David does not allow his emotions to become his God, but he brings his emotion to his God. That's what's happening here. God, I feel like this, so please, will you fix this in my life? Because you are the only one who can fix this. So let us take just a short look at some of the characteristics of his prayer. His prayer, look, is centered in God's glory. David already knew that he was the anointed one. So his deep fear is that if the enemy will prevail over him, what will the people speak about him who was anointed as a king? What kind of king is this? What kind of God? Do you remember Moses? When he prayed to God to save his people, he prayed, God, please save these people, because if you don't save them like you promised, what will all these nations around us will talk about you? They will mock you. Please, God, save them. In a similar way, David is praying here. God, you told me, like, I'll be your king. These enemies are killing me. Will you allow them to do that? More than this, his prayer is focused on God himself in the first way, not in his gifts. David is asking, not, God, please heal me or save me. God, turn your face towards me again. The most painful thing for David was that he lost the feeling of intimacy with God, and he cannot take that feeling anymore. He misses to see God's face again. He cannot live a life where he feels departed from his presence. God, will you forget me forever? No, I cannot deal with that. Please, turn your face towards me. I miss you, God. I need you. I need your presence. Then it's a persistent prayer. Look at those repetitions. Consider me, God. Answer me, God. Light up my eyes, O Lord. It's not a sporadic, superficial prayer, but a persistent prayer. He's insisting in this prayer. What would you think of this image if you'll walk on a street in the city and you'll see a man knocking on a door outside, and he's knocking, and it's night, and it's cold outside, and he's knocking like a crazy man. And when you come back after 3 days, you see the same man almost asleep there on the stairs, but knocking, knocking. What will you think about that man? He's desperate, so desperate that he knows that there is no other door in this city that could help him. This is why he's staying there. He knows that this is the only door that can help me in my state, in my desperate need. This is the idea. When we continue to pray, even if we feel departed, even if we feel forgotten, even if we feel like God forgot about us, but we stay there. God, consider me, answer me, light up my eyes. I'm staying here. I'm waiting for you. When we are doing this, we show that only God is enough to fix my problems. Money will not fix my heart. because I have money, or I will rob a bank or something. But no. The pleasures of this world will not fix my heart. Only God can be enough for me. So this is why I hold fast on Him. Why? Because, look, it's also a prayer of total dependency. David prays, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So now David is not speaking about physical life, light, brothers and sisters. His prayer is that God will give him again the right eyes, the necessary eyes, that he can see again clearly the promises of God. Do not leave me, it's like David is saying, do not leave me enslaved by these crazy emotions, by this pain, but light up my eyes so I can see you clearly again. It's like David is saying, God, if you do not offer light, there is total darkness in my life. I have no light of my own. I have no other light. I depend on you to be able to exit this spiral of despair. What do you think? When a small child is crying, and you know it's crying because he's in big pain, what will a father do, a loving father? Will a loving father react, do something? You know, does not matter the culture you come from. Does not matter the country you go to. In every culture, in every tribe in this world, when you go there, a father is giving his life for his child. That's how parental love looks like. So if we who are not perfect and not good are able to love in such a way, how much more our Heavenly Father will answer his kiddos when his kiddos are insisting and crying and praying. Look, he's saying, but, there is a but in this psalm. Verse 5, I have trusted in your, what? Steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So, lastly, first we give a voice to our emotions. Then we hold down on God in persistent prayer. We cry out to Him. And then, what do? Trust in the objective truth of God's word and promises, not in your feelings. Trust in God's word, which is true, objectively true, and not in your feelings, which are not very steady. Oh yes, God has lightened the eyes of David to see the reality through God's perspective, right? He starts to remember who God is, not through his emotions, but through objective truth. And where did God answer us with the truth? Where can we find this light that will help us not to sleep the sleep of death? David again, in another psalm, he's speaking about the light. Psalm 119, do you remember? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have no other lamp, we have no other truth, we have no other light but the word of God who never lies. Very interesting. There is no evidence that the circumstances in David's life changed. In the same psalm, he's crying to God. But then, in the middle of the struggling, God is answering. And it's changing David's perspective. He turned his eyes from his circumstances. He fixed his eyes upon the Lord, asking for help. And the Lord showed him the truth. Your heart shall rejoice in my salvation. And to be sure of it, you can be sure of it because what? Think about my love. Child, how is my love for you? How is my love for you? Is steadfast. It doesn't change no matter what. So many things are not steadfast in this world, brothers and sisters. My obedience is not steadfast. I'm not sure about yours. Mine is not. Sometimes I'm saying one thing, I'm giving a promise to my child, and in the same time I break that promise. I promise him that, we'll go to take a walk in the park. And after 3 hours, I feel so tired, and I find an excuse, right? Let's do it tomorrow. I have something to do. Our obedience is not steadfast. Our emotions are not steadfast, but there is an anchor which is steadfast, never changing. He's steadfast for us because he's the one who loved us first. Do you remember what prophet Isaiah said? Isaiah 49, verse 14. Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." And God is answering, "Can a woman forget his nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb?" And listen to this. "Even this may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on my palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." And the question is now, as we go to the final part of this sermon, can we be sure of this love? Could we be sure of these promises? Brothers and sisters, as the redemption story continued in the Bible, long time ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, the times of David also. But in these last days in which we live, he has spoken to us by his Son, the light of the world, the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, but he became flesh to die for our sins. When did Christ die for us? When did he die for us? When? When he saw your beauty. When he saw your steadfast love for him. When you gave more money to the church. That's when Christ died for you. No! Christ died for us when we were sinners. How much more he is for us now when we are sons and daughters of him. So right now when you are in pain, where you failed, where you fight with depression, you are not forgotten at all by him. Because how can you be sure? There was a day when in a similar agony, like David was saying, "How long, how long, how long, how long will you forsake me?" There is a day in this history when on a cross, a son cried to his father, "My Lord, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why?" It was Jesus crying to his father. And his father turned his face away so that you today be sure that when you deal with doubt, with pain, with fears, you can be sure that you'll never be forsaken again. Never. Because he died for you forever. So, now who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Because we are not perfected yet. We still live in this world where we fight with all these problems. And like David in the past, we feel forgotten many times. But this is the question. Who shall separate from all of this? Tribulation? What is the answer? Paul in Romans said, tribulation? Tribulation is real, right? Many times. Read about Paul's life, Apostle Paul's life. Tribulation is real. Tribulation? No. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Famine? No. Danger or sword? War? Death? Depression? Panic attacks? Fear of death? The fear of death will separate you from Christ? No. Nothing. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us with a steadfast love. Dear one, have you experienced this steadfast love? If yes, praise the Lord. If not, if you are still trying to find a purpose in this life, in the pleasures of this world, staying away from Christ, if you're still dancing with, I don't know what your plans for the future are, but those plans, if they don't have Christ, there will be a day. If you die without Christ, there will be a day when you'll cry out, will you forsake me forever? And the answer will be yes. It's too late now. But it's not too late this evening. Doesn't matter how much sin you have in your life. Doesn't matter how much failure you have in your life. Does not matter. Does not matter. Just come to Christ and you'll be loved. You'll be forgiven. You'll find anything you want in Christ. And in the same time, if we are His people, if we are His child, brothers and sisters, start when you deal with pain and depression and sadness and you name it. When you do that, start by not wearing a mask anymore. Live like Jesus taught us. As a child who is in pain, what does a child instinctively does when he's in pain? What does he do? He runs to his father's arms or mother's arms. What does he do? He doesn't speak about his pain. He hides it. No, he cries it. Come to Jesus to talk about it. Find a brother or sister in the church to discuss about those things. Do not fight alone. And even us, we need to learn to love each other by listening to each other without being judgmental to each other. Not being like Job's friends. They had all the advices for any pain. Let's understand each other. Sometimes you are more helpful for your brother or your sister just listening and praying for him. Not giving advices in the first minute after you heard him. Then pray, 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 pray alone, pray together. Seek his face and he will answer. And in the end, never let you to be guided by your feelings. Stay close to the Word of God. Trust the Word of God. You'll find power there. The Word of God is not lying. God is not lying. Stay there, even if you don't feel it. Stay there and believe it. Before we pray and sing, do you remember the prodigal son? Inadogavet? Do you remember the prodigal son? Remember the scene? The father has to deal with two sons who are distant in the same way, even if one of him was close to him and the other one was in the world. The younger son took all his money, went to the pleasure of this world, and one day he comes back home, right? He thinks, I don't deserve my father's home anymore. I deserve to stay outside, but man, I'm so downcast, I'm so low, I'm so desperate that I'll go to my father and I'll tell him, like, Father, not inside the house, please. Just a slave. A slave of your slaves. I know I don't deserve anything. So that day comes and the younger son comes back home. What does the father? The scripture says, he rose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What was the first feeling the father had towards that son? Did he prepare the stick, the belt, the curaua in Romania? Oh. Okay, you come back now. He felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. After he failed, he invited him in the house to celebrate with the best food, the fattened calf. And the other son is coming, hearing in the house what? Joy and music. And he says, oh, music again. My father is happy. Let's celebrate. No. He's asking, what's happening in the house? Your brother is back. What? So, I was the perfect Baptist, coming from this long line of Baptists. I have no mistake in my life. I did all of these things for the church, for my father, for the family. So now this brother of mine, who doesn't deserve anything, he comes back. My father is celebrating? What does the father do? With the same love, he immediately goes outside to the older brother. Hey brother, hey son, come, your brother is back home, come inside. No. Son, why are you staying outside? Because I did all of this for you. So, for you it's just about earnings and work? That's what you thought about our relationship? That you have to earn my money? Don't understand, my money is yours. Because I love you. You're my son. Come inside, just let's love each other. Let's be happy with each other. The same time when he saw the younger brother, just imagine the scene. Hey, slave, you go prepare the best ropes I have. Why? My son is back. I have to run to him, but make sure you prepare the best robe for him. Master, are you sure? It's the son that disrespected you. Your name was mocked in the village, in the city, everywhere because of what your son did towards you. Are you sure? Hey, just go and prepare the robes. And you go and prepare the best ring. Master, are you sure? Shh, just do it. But Father, don't you think he needs some discipline first? So, hey, son, I'll do that later maybe. I'll do that. But now it's time to celebrate. I don't want my son to think that I'm disappointed on him. First of all, I want to kiss him, to embrace him, to celebrate with him, to help him to be sure that my love is steadfast. So let the music, turn on the music. How do we know? What did the older brother heard when he came near the house? What did he hear? Music and dancing. Music and dancing. Right? The father was happy. Music and dancing in the house of the world, in the house of the master. How does our psalm end? Verse 6. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So Should we turn on the music in the house of the world, of our father? What do you think? Should we turn on the music? Did he deal with us bountifully? Are we forgiven? Even if we still fight with sin and failure and, yeah, we are his sons. We are his children. So let's sing together after we pray. Amen.